for you this morning is, how do you feel about birthdays? Are you one of those people when it's your birthday, you say, yes, hallelujah, it's my birthday? Or are you one of those people that says, oh my goodness, another birthday done rolled around? Well, today we celebrate our 46th anniversary and birthday as a church. How many of you think that once you get 40, you're getting kind of old? And once you get 50, you're really kind of old. Now, how many of you have been enlightened by the gospel and you know that when you get 40, you're just starting to live? And when you get 50, you're just getting your first win. Amen. You can tell who is what age just by how you responded there. Sometimes, though, life can beat us upon us so badly that we sometimes don't look forward to another birthday. We sometimes just don't even want to see another birthday. We sometimes don't even want to leave the house on our birthday. But I want us to recognize that birthdays can cause us to realize and recognize that God has given us a new year and a new chance to experience life again, no matter what. Because even in our darkest moments, God still has a plan for our lives. Tell your neighbor, God has not forgotten you. God has a plan that leads us all back to life. Now, some of you, it's not even October yet, and you're already screwing up in school. The good news is, it's not over yet. Some of you, already, you done lost a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you thought was going to definitely be the one. Some of you, you've had dreams for your family this year, and you recognize it just is not going to happen. Some of you may be struggling with a health issue that you thought you had finally gotten behind you, and you've gone back to the doctors and find out this thing is here all over again. And some of you, you may have your own business and things just aren't working well for you in this economy, and things are going downhill and the bills are coming in but the money isn't, and you're kind of wondering, what is it that you need to do to have things turn around? How many of you know that when you've got situations like this, it's easy to get discouraged? I know it was like getting discouraged coming back here. Coming back here after vacation, and Pastor Toby and I have been sharing, you know, what's God going to do in the church when we get back and all. And that first Sunday I got up here to preach, and there was just as many people in church that Sunday as there were at the end of the first year of ministry that we had here. And I was like, God, after 19 and a half years of hard work, I'm right back where I started from. And it was a pretty discouraging week for me. And I asked the question, what on earth went wrong? But I want us all to realize there are times when it's not going to be a matter of what went right and what went wrong. It's a matter of, are you going to be faithful where God has called you to be? And I want us all to accept there is no perfect place out there where if I just get there, everything is going to be all right. If I just get this, if I just get that, when I do this, no matter where you are, there are going to be some problems waiting for you. Tell your neighbors, they are waiting for you. You have got to know how to live right where you live. Because if you keep waiting for that one day to get life, you're going to be going in the grave saying, well, I don't know if I didn't get that day yet. I want us to look at a Bible character that we haven't looked at very often here at this church. His name was Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was, his name means one who strengthens. Ezekiel was a young man who had a desire to become a priest. His father had been a priest. His family were a family of priests. So he was looking forward to that day when he was going to become a priest. And Solomon, one of the early kings, he had built this magnificent temple to the Lord. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was huge, had gold on the doors. It was just one of the most beautiful buildings you had ever seen. And Ezekiel, with his desire to become a priest, every time he went past that temple, he would think, one day, I'm going to be a priest there in that temple. One day, people are going to come to me, and I'm going to take their sacrifices, and I'm going to offer them up to the Lord. And one day, there's going to be my coronation as a priest. And who knows, one day I might be one of the chief priests in that building. And one day, when the people come with their animals, I'm going to be the one that's going to sacrifice the animals for this. And Ezekiel spent his entire young life looking at that temple and just knowing that one day I'm going to be a priest over there. And the Jewish law had provided that after you went through this period of training, when you got to be 30 years old, you would have your coronation and you would become a priest. And Ezekiel is thinking, all I got to do is just make it to age 30. When I get to age 30, I'm going to be a priest, and then look out, I will have obtained my goal. Now, how many of you have been where Ezekiel worked, and you said, one day, I'm going to be on that team. One day, I'm going to graduate from that school. One day, I'm going to leave that neighborhood. One day, I'm going to marry such and such, so and so. One day, I am going to do this, or one day, I am going to do that. We may all have visions of one day. And you know what? It's good to have a vision of one day. But you got to be prepared for interruptions that life brings your way. Because you see, none of us are God. And all of us need a Savior who's going to be able to walk with us when that one day does not come like we thought it was going to be. Tell your neighbor, one day just might not come. But that doesn't mean life is over with. Go back with me for a moment in history. When Ezekiel was looking forward to that one day becoming a priest, the people around him were busy living their lives just like they wanted them to live. They were doing what they wanted to do. They was having wild sex parties. They were worshiping things other than God. They were partying because times were good. Hard to believe folks that long ago was just like folks today. They were so financially well off that the good times hadn't hit them. Wall Street hadn't fallen for them yet. And while they were having this good time and ignoring God, God sent prophets to them and said, y'all need to change. You need to repent. You need to turn away from what it is you were doing. And the people's response was, well, who is the Lord that we should worship him? What did they forget? They forgot this was the God who had led them out of slavery. They forgot this was the God who put health in their bodies and a light in their eyes every morning. They forgot this was the one who had got them up out of bed and sent them to work each morning. They forgot this was the God who was in control of everything. And you know, when we forget that about God, how many of you know God's got a way of getting our attention? Oh, God got a way of getting our attention really, really, really quickly. And these people, they refused to return back to God. And God sent the Babylonian army to Jerusalem. Now, this all happened about 600 years before Jesus came. And one thing about the Babylonian army was they had a reputation. You think you bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. The Babylonians, they were a vicious group. And when they came into your city, they didn't care if you was young, old, rich, poor, male, female, they would just cut you to pieces. And when they came into Jerusalem and destroyed the city, destroyed the walls of the city, they sent this magnificent temple on fire that had been standing for 400 years. And by the time the Babylonian army left, that huge temple was a pile of rubble and ashes. And the people who they did not slaughter, at least the professional ones, they took them into exile away from their country.
Now imagine, here you are, Ezekiel. Your goal is to become a priest in this magnificent temple. And you're looking at this temple and you see these flames and you see this smoke and you see this thing caving and crashing in on itself. He is watching his dreams, his hopes, his future all go up in flames. And Ezekiel tells us in chapter 1 of verse 1 of Ezekiel, he said, when I was 30 years old, I was by the Chebar River. Some translations say Kabar River. Now, some of y'all are out there thinking, now, I heard of the Nile River and I heard of the Jordan River, but I don't remember no songs about no Chebar or Chebar River. That's because it wasn't in Israel. He had been transported over to Babylon, which is present-day Iraq, and the Chebar River was a canal off of the great Euphrates River in Iraq. Now, how many of you know this is not what he was planning on happening by the time he got 30? He had envisioned that at age 30, he would finally be ascending to the priesthood there in Jerusalem. He had envisioned that at age 30, his family was going to be there with him, and he was going to be decked out in his blue and purple uniform as he was about to be anointed with oil. He had envisioned that at age 30, he was going to be at the top of his game. But it didn't happen that way. Tell your neighbor, life doesn't always happen like we plan it. Instead of all these things happening for him, there he is, dressed in rags, just a step above being a slave. He's a captive in a foreign land. You talking about a place to be with no hope, no future, thinking, can things get any worse than this? Asking, where on earth is God? Ezekiel's 30th birthday was so far removed from where he had intended to be at age 30 that it wasn't even funny. You ever had circumstances so bad in your life that the only thing you do is just start laughing about it? Just started laughing about it. Sometimes, Pastor Toby and I, when we look at some of the things that happen and just how crazy and ridiculous and bad it is, we just look at each other and start laughing. How many of you couples just started laughing there? You know where you've been there too. You just laugh. That's the only way to keep your sanity. But even though all these terrible things that happened with Ezekiel, it didn't stop him from opening his mouth and speaking for God. You know, you really don't know what kind of relationship you got with God until things go bad. You see, as long as everything is going good, you're just as tight with God as you possibly could be. Ain't talked to him for 2 weeks, but boy, y'all sure are tight. You let things go sour, downhill, that's when you are going to find out if you really are in a relationship with God or not. Sound like a couple in love. Ooh, we just love you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You let them have a real bad argument. That's when you got to find out how much love is really there. Keep on going. In chapter 37, Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, whose hand did he say? The hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. I ask you this, whose hand is upon you today? Who or what has its hand in your life? Who is deciding what kind of person you are becoming? Is it the hand of the streets? I keep trying to tell our young folks, you know, you can hang out there on the corner, but I don't even have to be close to Jesus to prophesy your future. It goes like this. You hang out on the corner. You hang out a little more. You find yourself with folks doing stuff on the corner that ain't got no business doing. You find yourself doing it too. You then find yourself in jail from hanging out on the corner. They let you out. You come to church, thank God, because you got out. But 2 weeks later, you back on the corner. And then the next time you go to jail, we don't see you for a couple of years. End of story. There is no part in there where you got a college degree. There is no part in there where you graduated from high school. There is no part in there where you become what God wants you to be. Why do I encourage our young girls? Go from high school to college. Because the script keeps being the same. You say, I'm going to put it off. You put it off. Then you'll get you a car. Once you got you a car, you got to keep working because you got to pay for the thing. While you working, all of a sudden you ain't got quite as much time to be at church. So you drift a little bit from the church. You meet Mr. So-called Right. You end up with Mr. So-called Right. You're going to bring him to the church eventually afterwards. You end up pregnant. Mr. Wrong never comes in. 3 years later, you know, I should have went on to school. Whose hand is upon you? Is it the hand of the music industry? Is it the hand of the television? Is it the hand of the recreation industry? You know, some folks are more devoted to the golf course than they are Jesus. Is it the hand of some kind of addiction? What is determining how you think, where you go, what you do? You see, we all need to check and see what hand is upon me because it's picking me up and it's about to carry me somewhere. And I need to know where it's going to drop me. Don't just put your blind trust in some hand somewhere. Open your eyes and see where you're going. You might need to tell that hand, get off of me. If you see a neighbor with a hand that needs to be get off, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Get that hand off him if you can. That's what a friend is all about. God's hand is taking you somewhere for a purpose. I want you to know that sometimes God's hand will take you somewhere you wasn't planning on going. Take you somewhere you don't even want to go sometimes. I want you to imagine with me, out on this plain, two massive armies coming against each other, and they clash, and the carnage is just amazing. People are left dead all over this valley, left and right. Matter of fact, when the battle is over, so many dead folk are there that the living can't even bury all the dead. So they just go through and pick up what they can pick up, and they go on about their business. And you got all these unburied bodies out there, and soon the flesh and everything wilts away, and you've got all of these bodies of, or all of these bones scattered in all kinds of directions. And the sun comes out and they bleach these bones. And it's an eerie sight. There's some skulls over here and some leg bones over there and some hips over there and some fingers over here all over this place. And Ezekiel said, when the hand of God was upon me, he placed me right in the middle of this massive cemetery of dry bones. Now, some of us, when God dropped us there, we didn't stay there no time. We got out of there in a hurry. But God had another plan. He says, I think he was telling Ezekiel, Ezekiel, you think you got it bad. You think you and your people got it bad. Look at all these bones. All of their hopes. All of their dreams. All of their desires. All of their plans gone. And he said, look at closely at the bones and how dry they are, which means they've been there for a long time. And then God asked Ezekiel the impossible. He says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? You know, we all got some bones in our lives. We all got some things around us that just sort of fell to pieces. We all got something that seems to be robbing us of life. And when God's hand is upon you and God is walking with you, God asks you the question, can life be brought out of this disaster? Can these bones live? And I want us to notice that Ezekiel wasn't too presumptuous. He says he didn't know the answer whether they could or not. But he did know who did know whether or not the life could come back in those bones. He said, you, oh Lord, know. You see, my friends, I don't know what bad decisions you might have made today. I don't know what news the doctor might have told you. I don't know why getting a job for you has been so hard for you to get. I don't know if you're going to lose your home. I don't know if you're going to lose your car. But I do know who has the answer to all of these questions. I do know who has the power to make you start living again. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. God told Ezekiel there in verse 4, he said, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Now I want you to notice that God told Ezekiel to do something. Too many of us, we want God to do everything. All we want to do is say a prayer and just hope God does the rest. No, God told Ezekiel to do something. And what he told him was a little bit out of the ordinary. When he told him to talk to some bones. Now, some of us would have objected to talking to bones. You see, if there have been a lot of people somewhere, we'll go talk to them. But if God said, go talk to one, we ain't going to talk to no one. We don't mind singing when there's a whole lot of people. What, there ain't going to be but three? I don't think the Lord want me to go there. Some of us, we are afraid and thinking we got to be real spiritual, thinking, I can't make this happen. Now, God done told you to prophesy. I can't do it. I'm not spiritual enough. We are afraid of failure. So we won't even try what God has told us to do because we are afraid of failure. And some of us, we were afraid that, God, if I say something to these bones, something might happen to these bones. We are afraid of success. So we don't want to do what we're supposed to do because we're afraid we might succeed. But the first thing we need to do is to do what God tells us to do. Tell your neighbor, just do what he says. Just do what he says. You see, sometimes we think that we can ignore what God has told us to do and think that things are still going to work out like they were supposed to work out. Now, how many of you know the key to life or really experience life is obedience? Obedience is the key to life. But we want a shortcut. We want God to bless us financially. Oh, God, if you just bless me financially. And God says, yes, yes, I want to do it. I want to do it. Oh, I want to do it. Ah. But God, I said, I want you to bless me financially. God says, yeah, that's how it happens. You tithe. And then I open the windows of heaven and I pour out a blessing on you. And you know what we say? God, I'm going to go to church and ask Pastor Rick to pray for me anyways. I think there's an easier way for this. How long do you have to be saved to know if you're not tithing, you're being disobedient to God? Now, some of y'all there clapping your hands and saying amen and ain't tithed in the last 10 years. We want God to bless our relationships. How long do you have to be saved to know if you do not treat others in the home the way you want to be treated, you better have a mess in your house. If you're walking around mean and ornery and this, that, and the other thing, I mean, you know, other people start mirroring you. How long you got to be saved before you know if you want to change on the outside, it begins on the inside. Ezekiel did what God told him to do. He began to speak the word to what looked like a hopeless situation. We need to start speaking the word of God into what looked like a hopeless situation. We need to say, the word of God says, God will provide all my needs. Therefore, I will put him first in my giving. The word of God says, God wants me to prosper. Therefore, I will fill out that college application. I will apply for that job that I'm afraid I might get. The word of God says, I can have a good marriage. So we say, I will humble myself. I will love my spouse as God intended for me to love him. The word of God says, my children can be blessed. So I'm going to love them now, even though they have pain in the neck, even though they're hard to love, I'm going to love them now. The word of God says I can have a good relationship with my parents. So even though I feel like saying something, I'm going to just keep my mouth shut. The word of God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Therefore, I am not going to let my circumstances cause me to lose my joy and my faith in God. Ezekiel started prophesying over them bones, and all of a sudden he heard some rattling of the bones. Boy, when some of us heard that first rattle, we was gone. We don't know what God did because we was out of there. But Ezekiel started watching these bones start moving. You see, the bones had to get back to where they were supposed to be. Because somebody had walked through the valley and kicked this old skull bone and it went over there. And somebody else had walked through it, stepped on another one and it went over there. And the wind had blown these over there. So imagine there you are, Ezekiel, in the middle and you see all these bones just moving around on the ground, coming together piece by piece. Some of y'all praying, Lord, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here. And as these bones start coming, the rattling keeps getting louder and louder and louder and louder, and he keeps on prophesying. You see, when God starts pulling things together in your life, there's going to be some people that's going to get mad and upset. Because how in the world God doing that for you and he ain't doing nothing for me? How is that happening? Don't worry about folks complaining. Don't worry about them telling you it ain't going to work. It ain't going to happen. Don't listen to them when they tell you, you know, I had a cousin who was in the same position you was, and all these horrible things happened. Just ask them, was he walking with Jesus when it happened? No, I ain't going to talk to you no more about this. Ezekiel saw them bones coming together, and then he saw the tendons growing on the bones, and he saw the muscles growing over, and then he saw the skin growing over, and all of a sudden he finds himself in the middle of a massive army of dead people. Some of y'all are so scared now, you don't know what to do. Look at all these dead folks. Look at all these dead folks. God says to him once again, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe into these slain, that they may live again. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Now, y'all know when y'all saw that many dead folks stand up at once, y'all was gone. Y'all think I was gone too? I might have been, depending on who it was that stood up there in front of me. I want us to notice that even when we put things back together, it's not enough. You got to have the Spirit of God on the inside of you and on the inside of that thing for it to truly become alive. You see, in the beginning, it looked like God was taking Ezekiel to a cemetery. But God was actually taking him back to a place to discover to how to bring life back into his situation. Don't run from where you are. God is not through with you yet. God has taken you to a place so that you can discover how to start to live again. God told Ezekiel, these bones are just like my people were. Tell them I'm going to give them life. Tell them I'm going to take them back to the country they came from. Tell them I am going to look out for their good. I am going to let them know that I am their God. I'm going to put my spirit in them. They're going to live again. You know, there may be people who have written you off today. They may have said after all the mistakes you done made, you ain't going nowhere. They can say because this happened to you and that happened to you, that's proof God's not with you anymore. But I want you to know, there was a guy in the New Testament that people had written off. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus had died ahead of his time. You see, the Bible teaches we can't die ahead of our time. Sometimes by just being hard-headed, and sometimes because God wants to do something. And Jesus, when he went there to where Lazarus was, people told Jesus, they said, you know, Jesus, if you had gotten here sooner, you might have been able to do something. People told Jesus, you arrived too late. It's not going to work now. They told him, they said, Jesus, you don't want to do that now. There's a bad odor that might come out of this thing. I don't smell nothing good coming from it. But you know something? Jesus didn't listen to any of them. Jesus said, take the stone away. And you know what? I like what Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say, Walter, would you go in and drag him out? Jesus didn't say, death, I would like for you to please let him go. Jesus didn't say, oh man, I just hope I can make this thing work. Jesus said, Father, thank you for what you're about to do. I didn't even have to pray this prayer. I'm just saying this so that the rest of them know that it was you who did it. And then Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. Just like those bones started rattling 600 years ago, all of a sudden, them fingers weren't as stiff as they used to be. Them muscles started limbering up a little bit. All that rigor mortis started to leave his body. Next thing you know, you saw this guy come walking out of the tomb. That's when some of y'all had a heart attack, went on to heaven. And when he came out, Jesus said, take the gray clothes off of him and let him go. It was time for Lazarus to start living again. It is time for you to start living again. Let the past go. Take off those gray clothes and let them go. And start becoming what God wants you to be. Tell your neighbor, take off them gray clothes. Make up your mind, for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is not through with you yet. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your faith, and don't lose your praise. Our praise team, that dance team, is going to come out, and they're going to give us a song. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your faith, and don't lose your praise. They're going to finish this sermon for you.
Lost some good friends along life's way. Some loved ones departed in heaven to stay. But thank God I didn't lose everything. I've lost faith in people who said they care. The time of my crisis, they were never there. But in my